Why would he love me? A sinner? Why would he go to the cross? He did so to fulfill his Father's will. He did so that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the Spirit." Dear friend, if you're here this morning without a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, he went to the cross to pay your penalty, to pay the debt for your sin, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's not my text this morning. Proverbs chapter 25. How many of you ever read the messages on the bumper stickers of the car in front of you? I'll admit I do. In fact, I even look at license plates and try to figure out what they mean. I'm probably way off on a lot of them. But you know, messages on bumper stickers. Some are interesting. Some are cute sayings. Some are weird. Some make no sense at all. Some are actually distracting. Others are simply filthy. Occasionally, as you look at the bumper sticker on that car in front of you, it asks the question, "Have you hugged your child today?" Or, "Have you hugged your dog today?" Now, I guess dogs need a hug once in a while. It encourages them, I don't know, but a hug. Many years ago, well, several years ago, in our church up at Fort, there was one of our men who was going through knee surgery, and I went to this hospital. It was early in the morning. I went to the hospital and read scripture and prayed with him before he went into surgery. And since his wife was there all alone, she had no family members, no friends or anybody to be with her, I decided to stay in the waiting room with her until the doctor came back and let her know that all things were well. And as I was going to leave, she said, "You need a hug." Kind of embarrassing, but I knew her intention. She was simply saying to me, "I appreciate what you did. You were needed at this particular time." You know, there are those all around us. There are folk in this service here this morning who need a hug. Now, it's not a physical necessarily hug, but a virtual hug. There are those who need encouraged. There are those who need to be refreshed. And in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 13, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his master." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, how thankful we are today for the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're thankful, dear Father, as we were reminded of in our Sunday school hour this morning, that we are saved through the Word of God. That powerful Word of God, which gives us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear Father, that as we look at this verse, basically one phrase within the verse, that, Lord, it would meet a need. It would bring an encouragement, but at the same time would challenges in this matter of being an encourager. Guide us and direct us as we look into your word together. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Needing to be refreshed. Needing to be encouraged. You know, there are times when we need to be refreshed physically. The statement that Solomon makes in this verse, as you read it at its surface, doesn't seem to make any sense at all. As the cold of the snow in the time of harvest. Snow in the time of harvest is not that which the farmer appreciates. Pastor has mentioned a number of times that I grew up on a farm out there in northeastern Colorado. And our main money crop was sugar beets. It was one of the first crops that were planted in the spring. It was the last crop that we would harvest in the fall. Normally, it would be somewhere between October 10th and October 15th that the sugar beet dumps, is what we called them, would open up where we could start delivering the sugar beets to these places. They just put them in great big piles, and then later they'd be put on trains and taken to the sugar beet factory. But it would, around October 10th and October 15th, and out there in Colorado, occasionally, you could have snow in October. And I can remember a few years of having snow in October, and it was not pleasant. It was not refreshing. It would cause harder work. And we would have to clean up the machine that we harvested the beets with every night to make sure it didn't freeze and so forth. And so when he says here, as the cold of the snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger. But notice he didn't say as snow, but as the cold of the snow in the time of harvest. He actually here is speaking of bringing encouragement. That word refresheth is a word which means to turn back, to restore, to refresh, to repair. It is that of helping another in a time of circumstance, situation, that he needs to be brought back from that. He needs to be encouraged in it, to be refreshed. In Judea, in the time of harvest, could be quite hot. It could be quite warm. But also in Judea, they would receive snow, especially up on the mountaintop. And they had there in that particular land, those underground places where they would pack the snow. And they would use that then to cool their drinks. And so in the time of harvest, in the time when it was hot and they were thirsty, they could take from that packed snow in there, and the cold of that refreshed it cooled their water, and it would refresh them physically. Again, as I think back to my time on the farm in the middle of the summer when we would have the hay harvest, and we didn't bale our hay at that particular time. We had what we called a crane stacker. And I don't know if any of you ever heard of that, but we would mow the hay and we would side rake it, and then we would have a dump rake and we'd put it in little piles, and then we would go with sleds and we would actually with pitchfork put it on the sleds, and there would be a sling under there. This crane stacker would grab those sling, pull it up and dump it off on the hay. But you know, it get hot and it would get dusty. And several times during the day, someone, usually my mom or one of my sisters, would come out with some nice, clear, cold water. And oh, how refreshing that was to have those cold drinks. And snow, the cold of snow in the midst of the harvest is refreshing. You know, there are those who need to be refreshed. There are those who need to be encouraged physically. You and I can be that instrument. Matthew in chapter 10 and verse number 42. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Dear friend, you are needed. You can be an encourager. But basically this morning, what I want to look at, yes, you can bring refreshment physically, but you can also be the instrument in bringing refreshment emotionally and spiritually. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul. Figuratively speaking, though you might not be aware of it, there are those who need encouragement. I would venture to say that someone here this morning, in this service right now, is in need of encouragement. They need to be refreshed emotionally. They need to be refreshed spiritually. If you do not have one, pick one up on the table and look at the prayer list. And on that prayer list, you see a number of individuals who need encouragement. Yes, they might need encouragement physically, but there are those who need refreshment spiritually. Maybe might be that one who is facing a medical situation in their life. Might be that one who is burdened for a child or a brother or sister or a parent even who has wandered away from the Lord or maybe has not come to a saving knowledge of the Lord yet and they're burdened because of that. It might be one with that might be that hurting wife or that hurting husband whose marriage is not going quite as they would like it to go. Might be that one who because of physical limitations are not able to get out and to do the things that they once were able to do. You know, it might even be that one who has come to a place in their life where they feel they are no longer needed. That they are worthless. That they cannot do what they once did. And they simply need to be encouraged. And to any of these, you and I can be an angel. You and I can be that faithful messenger to give that encouragement, to give that virtual hug that is needed. And I believe we have in the New Testament a man who is a great example for us. And so I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts this morning. We're going to be spending most of the rest of our time there in the book of Acts today. The man Barnabas. Barnabas was that faithful messenger. He was an encourager. And in his ministry of encouragement, he is a great example for you and I. In fact, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. The son of consolation. The son of or the individual who is an encourager, a strengthener. He says that he exhorted. But his name actually told of his ministry, being an encourager. I want us to see three areas in which he was an encourager. First of all, he was an encourager in others' walk with the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and verse 23. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, these individuals whom they sent him to were new believers, recently saved. This was a new church that was beginning. In fact, if you would jump on up to verse 19 or crawl up there, whatever you can do. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jew, unto the Jews only. They were preaching the word. They were delivering the word of God. Verse 20, and some of them were of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And so they came with the message of salvation. They came with the gospel message. And as they presented the gospel message, there were those who received the word of God, and they were gloriously saved. And Barnabas now comes up there, as it tells us in verses 22 and 23, and he says, and he exhorted them all. That word exhorted means to counsel, to encourage, and strengthen by consultation, to comfort. You know, all of us, many, sometime in our life, need to be encouraged spiritually. Just encouraged to keep on keeping on. Living the Christian life is not always easy. It can be tough at times. I enjoyed, was greatly blessed by the Sunday school lesson this morning, but do you know how that there are temptations, there are trials that come into our life. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, there are times that we just want to quit. We want to give up spiritually. And it's at those times when we need somebody to come along and give a word of encouragement, to give that virtual hug that is needed, especially for new believers, for new churches. They just need that encouragement, that strengthening in their lives spiritually. And so Barnabas, he's an example for us to be an encourager to the new believer, to be an encourager in the walk with the Lord. And then secondly, Barnabas was an encourager in the work of the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 9, verses 26 and verse 27. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and he believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus the name of Jesus. You know the story. Paul, previously known as Saul, was a persecutor of the church. He was an enemy of the Christians. He did all that he could to have Christians thrown to the lions, put into prison, and so forth. In fact, on the day he was saved, he was on his way to Damascus with the authority in his hand to cast Christians into prison, to have them cast into the lion's den. And God miraculously saved his soul. Just the same way he saved you and I, miraculously. Oh, we might have come from a nice home. I thank God that I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. But you know, it took the miracle of God to save my old lost soul. And I'm thankful for that. And Paul was miraculously saved, and now he became not the persecutor of the Christians, but the preacher of the gospel. But there were those, because of his background, who were afraid of him. They weren't sure. It was, is this a trick by this man to get our confidence and then he's going to throw us into prison? But Barnabas gave him that virtual hug. Barnabas encouraged him. He encouraged him by telling the others that, hey, this man is called of God. He is a preacher of the word, and he gave him that virtual hug. He encouraged him. Barnabas encouraged those in their walk with the Lord. He encouraged those in their work for the Lord. And then thirdly, Barnabas encouraged others in their weakness. Acts chapter 15, beginning with verse number 36. Acts chapter 15, verse number 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And again, I'm sure you're acquainted with the background of this. Paul and Barnabas were sent forth by the church on the first missionary journey. God blessed in that time, and they saw folks saved and so forth. But there was a young man by the name of John Mark that went with them. And partway through that particular journey on that trip, John Mark gave up. He quit. He went home. And now they are going to go out on their second missionary journey. And as they did so, Barnabas suggested that they take John Mark with them again. And Paul said, no way. He's a quitter. He failed. He's weak. But Barnabas encouraged him in the face of his weakness. Let me ask you a personal question this morning. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever failed? How many of you ever quit? Gave up? How many will admit this morning that there's some weakness in your life? Barnabas encouraged John Mark in his weakness, in his failing. Am I willing today to give that one who has failed a second chance? Am I willing to come along that one who maybe has slipped and he's gotten away from the Lord and to be an encouragement to that one in their weakness, to do what I can to draw them back to a walk with the Lord. Encourage them in their weakness. Encourage them in their work. Encourage them in their walk with the Lord. Barnabas, as we see here in verse number 39, was willing to give a second chance, to be an encouragement. Let that young man know, though he might have failed, yet God could still use him. And he wanted to encourage him that he might go on. Though he had failed, he was still usable. He was still needed. Am I willing to give that one who has failed, that one who has fallen away, a second chance? Am I willing to reach out to them, to be an encouragement to them, to give them that virtual hug? You never know when you can be an encouragement, just the routine of life, in the struggles of life, in the times of stress. You know, even you might be going through a difficult time. Even you might be stressed. And yet, in that particular time, you can be a help to someone else. You can be that cold of snow in the time of harvest. You can be that faithful messenger that refreshes, not necessarily your master, but someone else. The Apostle Paul himself faced some stress in his ministry. He had a very busy ministry. He faced some very difficult circumstances. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, Paul said, "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Not just the care of one church, but the care of many churches. And he was burdened. You just read the letters of Paul, the writings of the Apostle Paul, and you feel the burden that Paul carried and how he cared for people and how he longed to help them grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would be burdened. He was being stressed. Paul was thankful. And he acknowledged the fact that there were those who were as the cold of snow in the time of harvest. There were those faithful messengers that were in encouragement to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. They have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them as such." They have refreshed my spirit. Dear friend, you never know. A word spoken. A pat on the back. A card sent. Can be just what somebody needs. Can be that virtual hug in a time of difficulty. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." He oft refreshed me. All of you know that Doris and I recently left a ministry of about 30 years. And I'll be honest with you this morning. The transition has not been easy. I miss the people of Fort Atkinson. I miss the ministry. I miss getting up preaching Sunday morning, teaching this adult Sunday school class, preaching Sunday night. I miss the hours spent in the study. I miss those dear people. In those 30 years, there were times when I stood beside the bed when a godly saint was ushered into the presence of God. I went to the hospital and visited a mom and her little baby. Short time after, would have the privilege of having a dedication service for that little child. I attended their school programs, cheered them on in their athletic events, was there for their high school graduation, was there for their college graduation. Those little infants that I had visited in the hospital, I had the privilege of performing their marriage. And then I had the privilege of having a dedication service for their children. And I started attending some of their school programs. And I miss it. The transition hasn't been easy. And I say that not to have your sympathy, but I say that to say thank you. You dear people have given Doris and I that virtual hug. You've been that encouragement. You've sent a card. You said a word of encouragement. You've given a help in a time when help was needed. You might not realize it, but you were and you are needed. And you've been a blessing. You've been that one. In the cold of snow, in the time of harvest, with that faithful messenger. That one who made the transition a little easier. I'd like to close to this morning. And I know you're going to have to go home and you're going to have to wait until the dinner's ready. But even in the midst of your stress, in those difficult times in your life, you can be a help. You can be an encourager. You might help that one who has come to that place in their life where they feel that they are no longer needed. It's a fairly long story, but I am going to take time to read it. It's entitled, Dead Flowers. I spent the week before my daughter's June wedding running last-minute trips to the caterer, the florist, the tuxedo shop, and the church about 40 miles away. As happy as I was that Patsy was marrying a good Christian young man, I felt laden with responsibilities as I watched my budget dwindle. So many details, so many bills, and so little time. How many of you have daughters out there? My son Jack was away at college, but he said he would be there to walk his younger sister down the aisle, taking the place of his dad who had died a few years before. He teased Patsy, saying he wanted to give her away once she was about 3 years old. To save money, I gathered blossoms from several friends who had large magnolia trees. Their luscious, creamy, white blooms and slick green leaves would make beautiful arrangements against the rich, dark wood inside the church. After the rehearsal dinner the night before the wedding, we banked to the podium area and choir loft with magnolias. As we left just before midnight, I felt tired but satisfied. This would be the best wedding any bride ever had. The music, the ceremony, the reception, and especially the flowers would be remembered for years. The big day arrived, the busiest day of my life, and while her bridesmaids helped Patsy to dress, her fiancé, Tim, walked with me to the sanctuary to do a final check. When we opened the door and felt a rush of hot air, I almost fainted. And then I saw them. All the beautiful white flowers were black, funeral black. A storm during the night had knocked out to the air conditioning system, and on that hot summer day, the flowers had wilted and died. I panicked, knowing I didn't have time to drive back to our hometown, gather more flowers, and return in time for the wedding. Tim turned to me, "Edna, can you get more flowers? I'll throw away these dead ones and put fresh flowers in these arrangements," I mumbled. "Sure," as he bebopped down the hall to put on his cufflinks. Alone in the large sanctuary, I looked up at the dark wooden beams in the arched ceiling. "Lord," I prayed, "please help me. I don't know anyone in this town. Help me find someone willing to give me flowers in a hurry." I scurried out praying for four things: the blessing of white magnolias, courage to find them in an unfamiliar yard, safety from any dog that may bite my leg, and a nice person who would not get out a shotgun when I asked to cut his trees to shreds. As I left the church, I saw magnolia trees in the distance. I approached a house. No dog in sight. I knocked on the door and an older man answered, "So far, so good. No shotgun." When I stated my plea, the man beamed. "I'd be happy to." He climbed a stepladder and cut large bows and handed them down to me. Minutes later, as I lifted the last armload into my car trunk, I said, "Sir, you've made the mother of a bride happy today." "No, ma'am," he said. "You don't understand what's happening here. You see, my wife of 67 years died on Monday. On Tuesday, I received friends at the funeral home. And on Wednesday," he paused,
I saw tears welling up in his eyes. On Wednesday, I buried her. He looked away. On Thursday, most of my out-of-town relatives went back home. And on Friday, yesterday, my children left. I nodded. This morning, he continued, I was sitting in my den, crying out loud. I miss her so much. For the last 16 years, as her health got worse, she needed me. But now, nobody needs me. This morning I cried, who needs an 86-year-old worn-out man? Nobody. I began to cry louder. Nobody needs me. About that time, you knocked and said, sir, I need you. I stood with my mouth open. He asked, are you an angel? The way the light shone around your head into my dark living room, I assured him I was no angel. He smiled. Do you know what I am thinking when I handed you those magnolias? I decided I'm needed. My flowers are needed. Why, I might have a flower ministry. I could give them to everyone. Some caskets at funeral homes have no flowers. People need flowers at times like that, and I have lots of them. They're all over in my backyard. I can give them to the hospital. I can give them to churches, all sorts of places. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to serve the Lord until the day He calls me home. An individual who felt he was no longer needed. And there was a faithful messenger, unknown to her. Let me read this last paragraph. I drove back to the church filled with wonder. On Patsy's wedding day, if anyone had asked me to encourage someone who was hurting, I would have said, forget it. It's my only daughter's wedding, for goodness sake. There is no way I can minister to anyone today. But notice the last sentence. But God found a way. Through flowers. Dear friend, you might not know who you can encourage today. You might be like this mother and say, I can't. I've got my own problems. I'm stressed out. I'm busy. But God can find a way. God can find a way to enable you to be a Barnabas. God can find a way that would enable you to be that as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, to be that faithful messengers. Life is not always the way that we think it should be. But dear friend, you might not think that you're needed, that you are. You have been, and you can continue. And let me challenge us to do what we can. Take advantage. Though we might not think that we can be of help, God will find a way. Will we respond to God's way and become that Barnabas, become that encourager? I thank God that you have. Let me encourage you to continue to do so. Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, how thankful I am this morning for your great goodness. How thankful I am, Lord, for these dear folk who have been as the cold as snow in the time of harvest. Been that faithful messenger, willing to give that virtual hug, to give a word of encouragement. And all around us, there are folk who need be encouraged in their walk with the Lord. Oh, they might be struggling. They might be a new Christian. They just need to have someone put their arms around their shoulder, encourage them to keep on keeping on.
There might be that Sunday school teacher, that wee walker teacher, that junior church teacher, that pastor who need to be encouraged in their work. Just to have someone say, thank you. Appreciated that lesson. I needed that. It might be that one who has failed. That one who has wandered away from the Lord. That one who maybe gave up. And they simply need someone to encourage them. To let them know that God still loves them and God can still use them and God will use them if they will just turn back. They just need that encouragement to do so. Might be that dear saint, possibly an older saint. Just come to the place in their life where they just feel that they're worthless. They're no longer needed. They're no longer usable. We can be that faithful messenger. Encourage them. Let them know God can still use them. God can still give them a ministry. Pray, Lord, you'd help us to just be that Barnabas. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, we come to the end of the service today. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. But when is the last time you just gave a word of encouragement? Do you know of one today that has kind of fallen away? That one who maybe failed in their life. Maybe one who even physically needs to be encouraged. And even in your times of stress, in your own difficulties, be that faithful messenger. Be that Barnabas. I trust even this week we take advantage of those opportunities that the Lord gives. Dear friend, if you're here this morning without Christ, you have the one who is the greatest of all encouragers. He is the one who came with one purpose, and that was to seek and to save those which are lost. And as Brother Dave sang that song this morning, why? Why did he go to the cross? Why did he love me so? Because he wants you to be his child. He commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. If you're here this morning without Christ, let me encourage you. Come to myself, Pastor Allen, someone else here in the church that you know, and we'd be more than happy to open up the Word of God and show you from God's Word how you might be saved. You're not saved by being in a Baptist church. A Baptist church can't save you. You're not saved by walking down an aisle. An aisle cannot save you. But the Lord Jesus Christ can. And we'd be more than happy to show you in God's Word how He will save you. Dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would have your will and your way in this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. As the instrumentalists play, if there's a need that you have, I'm glad to meet you here in front. If you're here without Christ, oh, how we would encourage you to come and let someone open the Word of God and show you from God's Word how you might be saved. If you ought to come, you come on the very first verse as the instruments play.